We're in the yard with certified arborist John Eisenhower of Integrity Tree Service. Call with your questions right now at 1-888-ROSIE-4U.
As we were going to the break, we were speaking with Ryan in Tucson. He was trying to get a mistletoe out of his mesquite. What would happen if he just left it there, if it was too high or hiring an arborist wasn't an option for him and just let it go? What would happen?
Well, that's a good question. Some people would just let the mistletoe go. If it is a parasite, it does invade the vascular system of the host tree, causes some degree of stress on the tree. But if it's a little sprig of a mistletoe here or there in the tree, some people enjoy it because it actually encourages some wildlife and some bird activity. And so it's not that big of an issue. Trees can live with mistletoe for many, many, many years without having any kind of an effect upon their long-term health. That being said, if it does spread further in the tree and it can cause some considerable stress if you have a lot of it in your trees. And some neighborhoods don't like their neighbors letting their mistletoe go because then the birds eat the seeds. They get the seeds on their beaks and on their feet, and then they fly to another tree. Mm. And those little seeds fall down in little cracks in the joints between branches. And before you know it, you've got mistletoe in your other trees. So there are some control measures that can be taken and might just be a good idea to keep tabs on it, you know, if you've got a lot of it.
Very good. Let's start with, Bill. Let me hit the right button here. And Awatuki's got a question on moving trees. Welcome, Bill.
Hey, thanks. Thanks for taking my call. I've got a lime tree that I want to move about 20 feet across the yard. It's maybe 6 inches in diameter at the base, and then it's probably 10 feet tall. And I'm just wondering what steps you might recommend for, you know, like keeping the root ball, putting the roots in water, maybe how to prepare the new location. I'm also wondering what my chances are that the tree would even survive.
Well, I'm going to let Bonnie have a shot at that answer since she specializes in tree transplanting.
Okay.
Thank you, John, and thank you for the call-in. A lime of that size is a perfect specimen to move. As long as you have access in order to get a truck approximately the size of a dump truck in there. So if you've got access for it, a spade will pick it up and transplant it within an hour, and it won't even blink.
Now, I'm going to go out on a limb and say, because he's in Awatuki, he doesn't have room. Or let's just assume that. What would his options then be?
If you do not have a room to get any size of equipment in there, the only thing you can do is hand dig it and call in a company. That size of a root ball, that's not going to be something that most typical homeowners will be able to handle. So you'll have to call someone in, get it boxed up, and then possibly be able to move it with a crane.
Right, a tree that's that large would require a root ball that would be much too heavy to lift with, even with four or five guys. It's going to probably be 1,000 pounds or more. So, and it will likely need to be side boxed. Wouldn't you think, Bonnie? There's a side boxing technique where you actually dig trenches around the tree and set some boxes in, similar to the same nursery boxes that were used when the tree was planted in originally. And then it needs to be moved with the box. The box helps to be able to pull it out, but you need mechanical assistance, maybe a bobcat or something to come in to be able to lift it up, or a forklift.
Bonnie mentioned the lime wouldn't even blink. With the spade, you're grabbing the dirt, the soil, the root ball, pretty much.
And
not bothering it, picking it up and moving it. The tree doesn't even know it's been moved.
Particularly one of that size, Rosie.
Yeah. Okay.
And the 90 inches refers to the width, the top. The spade digs, it starts digging in at 90 inches diameter. So it's a really wide girth. You've got 45 inches on either side of the tree, so you're picking up a root ball that big.
I would guess hand digging it, even by an expert, and boxing it is going to cause a lot more stress to the tree.
There's no doubt. The quickest time frame that you could hand box it would be 3 weeks.
Woo. Very good, Bill. Good luck. I hope you've got the room for a spade truck. Let's bring Ellen into the conversation. Wants an alternative to a mesquite. Welcome to the program.
I'm sorry. You're talking to Ellen?
Yes, ma'am.
Hi. I have a Chilean mesquite in my backyard, and my backyard is 30 by 50. It's a perennial. My whole backyard is a perennial garden. And my mesquite tree, there's a patio underneath the mesquite tree. So I'm constantly picking up the mess that it's the debris underneath the mesquite tree. And I'm contemplating getting rid of it because it's just too messy. And I'd like to know what I could replace it with. Number one, I'm thinking about maybe a Chinese elm. And I'm also wondering, can I, whatever I replace it with, can I put it in that same hole, or do I need to move it a foot or two one direction or the other?
Good questions. Wow. What does our panel say?
Well, you're not alone with wanting to get rid of your mesquite tree. Mesquites do grow rapidly. As we said, they're popular for that very reason. But trees that grow rapidly achieve and sometimes exceed their landscape purpose pretty quickly. And unfortunately, once they outgrow their location, we talk about it in terms of a tree having a reason and a season, and sometimes that reason and season expire, and it's time to maybe think about a replacement. A replacement tree for a mesquite, an elm tree is about the same size, actually can be larger than a mesquite tree, so you need to realize that you are you're not getting any advantage in kind of downsizing. If you do have a perennial garden and you want to get a little more sunlight there, the elm may not be the best choice. I'm thinking more along the lines of a cascalote, maybe an ironwood, which is a little slower growing than the mesquite, maybe a vitex. Bonnie, do you have any others that you have in mind that would be appropriate for a replacement tree?
It kind of depends on the area that you're in, but I like a Chinese elm in that I do find it to be a little bit slower, and it also has extremely good mulch aspects. So if you do have a perennial garden, that mulch off of that Chinese elm is phenomenal. But like John says, that's considered a large tree overall, so you'd have to make sure that you had allowances for that. I like a Chitalpa if it's in a drier area. That Vitex is an excellent suggestion. Desert Willow does great as an addition to something like a perennial garden like that.
All right. There's a couple great options for you. Ellen, taking a little investigating. Is she going to need to dig a new tree hole, or can she go right in where that mesquite came out?
You can probably go right in the same spot. You will need to get a mechanical stump grinder to come in. There's companies that actually grind stumps out with a machine that can completely destroy the root ball and most of the radiating roots, so you can plant another tree back in the same spot. Regarding replacement trees, there is a great website. It's amwua.org, amwua.org. And that is the AMWA website that has a great listing of great replacement trees.
Let's see if we can get Nancy into the conversation from Phoenix, wanting to know about a pine tree that was damaged in the microburst. Welcome, Nancy.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. We were indeed in the middle of that macroburst that happened a couple of weeks ago, and we have a 30-year-old goldwater pine that goes up about 20 or 30 feet and then had two tops, and one of the tops snapped off. And now the tree is looking really poorly. It's everything is turning brown. Has that stressed the tree, or is the tree dying?
Well, maybe both. It sounds like when the one stem broke off, it often can destroy the cambium and the integrity of the remaining stem. And often there's not enough nutrient uptake for the tree to survive. It's sort of a waiting game right now. But if the tree is starting to decline and showing signs of dying back, it may not make it.
We appreciate the call. Coming up next month, we've got something exciting. We're actually going to be Prescott for the Arizona Community Tree Council annual conference.
Yes, we are. We are moving to Prescott in order to get out of the heat. Once a year, we have a conference in September. It's going to be September 19th and 20th, a Friday and a Saturday. We're meeting at the Prescott Resort and Conference Center. And one of the really important topics, it sounds like it might be industry specific, but I don't believe it to be. Victor Morello is talking about tree law. And I know that most people have encountered tree law when they're dealing with a neighbor's tree or they're dealing with their own trees, maybe the roots are encroaching onto somebody else's property, or they're dealing with the city on other trees. So Arizona tree law is very important, and it's going to be something that everyone will know. And for the price of the conference, it wouldn't even take an hour of a, it's not even comparable to an hour of an attorney's fee. So it's really good value.
That sounds like a good resource for our first caller who was trying to get his neighbor's tree cut down.
Without a doubt.
Right. So knowing the law would let him know what his options are to begin with. I mean, he was frustrated at the city, but he could have been asking for something that's out of the law.
Yeah, if you do have some problems with knowing what limits you have in terms of what you can do, in terms of trimming your neighbor's branches back or cutting the roots that are coming over your property line from your neighbor's trees, or if you have a tree that's encroaching on your neighbor's property, you might have some issues too. I have a client of mine who just recently said that his neighbor was threatening to cut the branches back on his tree all the way back to the trunk because the tree is very close to the property line. So, but to severely cut a tree back at the property line will likely kill the tree. And so there's case law that prohibits or it stipulates that you need to be reasonable in pruning back your neighbor's trees. That you do have the right to cut back to the property line technically, but in so doing, you need to take into consideration the safety and health of the tree. So anyway, Victor will be addressing a lot of these issues.
It's also a great resource for somebody that's in the industry looking to expand their knowledge, or somebody looking to get into the industry. If you're looking for something new and you enjoy working outside and you enjoy trees, for a change of profession, this would be a great preview to see what the industry is all about.
Yeah, thank you. This is the premier tree event in the state of Arizona, and it's a tremendous time of fun. And Bonnie is the incoming president, and it's just going to be a great time. Industry professionals meet annually at this event, but we encourage the members of the public to come along as well.
No need to feel stumped. We'll be right back with Rosie on the House, certified tree care experts from Integrity Tree Service.